Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. We're in Acts chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, and I'm not going to require you to stand this morning. We're just going to take this as a story, and we'll just take it as it is, if you will. We left off with Philip in chapter 6. We found out that he was considered a man of good reputation, full of Holy Spirit and wisdom. So they appointed him to serve tables. That was until Stephen got martyred. And persecution scattered the sheep, if you will, scattered the disciples, except for the apostles. They remained in Jerusalem. So where did we find Stephen? Well, Stephen came to the city of Samaria. Again, if you're not familiar with this, we've talked about this. The Samaritans were, if you will, half-breeds. It's the simplest way of putting it. Half-Jew, half-Gentile. They're despised by the Jews. And the Jews, or the Samaritans, despised the Jews. But Philip found himself in the city of Samaria. So what happened? Revival broke out. Oh, things were happening. Things were moving. Things were shaking. Miracles were happening. Unclean spirits were crying out and leaving. All that came that were possessed were freed. Many that were paralyzed, the lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. Then Peter and John came and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. Man, it was rocking. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We just pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct us. Lord, I pray that each of us would find again the joy of our salvation. Bless this time, we ask. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. So, what happens to our hero, Philip? Well, did he start another tent revival? Did he move to another city? Did he just think they'll come because, again, it's moving and it's shaking? No. But what does God have him do? Look at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." That word south can also mean middle of the day. Philip, I want you to go to the middle of nowhere and the heat of the day in the middle of the desert. Go, Philip. Go. Interesting. Lord, you're using me here. Why would I go anywhere else? And why would I go to the middle of nowhere in the heat of the day? Why? You ever feel those questions coming upon you? What am I doing here? What's going on? Why is it so hot here? Why is it such a struggle? Why? Look at verse 27. So, Philip said, "No way am I going, Jose." So he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of a great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake it." Out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of day. Can you imagine that? Now, you'd have to go into the sand hills to kind of get this idea, if you will. You'd have to go somewhere where it's sparse. Now, me, it's fresh in my memory because I've been to the desert many a times. And no, I didn't have a horse with no name, but I've been out there a lot. And let me tell you something. It can be desolate. We would walk over dunes for miles. And there's a few times that we go, oh, where'd we put our camp or our car? Then we'd find a road and then we'd start hiking back and then we'd start seeing landscape that we finally figured. Because, you know, cactus trees, they have a tendency to all look alike. Desert is a desolate place. But here is Philip in the middle of the day, in the middle of nowhere, thinking, what am I doing here? And all of a sudden he sees this caravan. And the Lord says to him, go run inside it. Go check it out. See what's going on. And if you notice, in verse 26, it was the angel of the Lord that spoke to him. An angel spoke to him. Here the Holy Spirit prompted him, go. Now, verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? If you notice something, not only did he receive direction, Philip didn't hesitate. No, Philip ran to him. As Philip came near, he heard the Ethiopian reading out loud from the prophet Isaiah and asked a simple question. Just a simple question. What is it? Do you understand what you are reading? But notice something. Notice the enthusiasm. If you will, the privilege of sharing about God. Does that speak of you? Does it speak of me? Sometimes I think we think it's a burden, especially to share the gospel, isn't it? Look at verse 31. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. I don't understand this. I need guidance. He then asked Philip to come up and sit with him. That word ask, it means to call to one side. It means to entreat. It means to plead. Please come up and explain this to me. His heart was ready. His heart was ready to understand. Why? Because God prepared the heart. Take note of this. You and I cannot force a heart, prepare a heart, or make a heart ready for the gospel. Only God can do that with the help of the individual. Look at verse again. 32 through 34. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? The Ethiopian was ready from reading from Isaiah 53. There was no better place, listen, for a Jew to be reading or a proselyte, which this Ethiopian could have been. We'll talk about him in a minute. But notice something. God prepared the heart. He knew the time and the place. He moved the Ethiopian to purchase the scroll of Isaiah, had him reading from Isaiah 53. And Philip, all he had to do was just go. Now, if we focused on Philip, which we'll continue to do, we're going to miss something here. We're going to miss the Ethiopian. Why is that so significant? Because God saw this man. God saw and prepared the heart of this man. See, he traveled for miles. Ethiopia was hundreds of miles away. Now, to you and me, it's like driving in a car. He probably, if we got in a car, we could get there by the end of the day, probably, if we drove long. Him? No. See, typically, especially even a caravan, you'd go about 20 miles a day. That's how far you would travel. Ethiopia was south of Egypt. We're talking days upon days and weeks upon weeks, months to get to Jerusalem. Why? Because his heart was prepared that he had a hunger and a thirst for God. There had to be something more. Because remember, he's a eunuch, and you know what that means. He can't have children, so what was it? He was married to his job, folks. And he was, if you will, successful. A successful man that realized he was hurting, hungry for something more. He wanted more. And there's a good chance he became a proselyte to Judaism. The other interesting thing is he purchased the scroll of Isaiah. And who knows what else? This man was hungry. This man wanted to know. And guess what, folks? Guess what? God knew that. God saw that. And if you will, just as Jesus said, Jesus told Philip, if you will, Philip, leave my 99 sheep. I need you to find this one chosen vessel. Hey, gang. You too are that one that he left for you. His heart is towards you. Leave the 99 and find the one. You know, that reminds you of, again, is that parable that Jesus spoke. But listen to what he says, how he says it. He says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. How are you today? Feeling lost? Feeling empty? Feeling that God's lost you in the shuffle somewhere, somehow, some way? Maybe you can relate to Philip in the sense that you feel like you're in the desert, wondering, what am I doing here? It's so easy for us to forget something, that God sees us. God knows. God's at work. Always at work. Never stop. See, he saw us, if you will, wandering in the wilderness, finding ourselves in the desert. But he knew. Maybe you're at the part in time in your life that God is preparing your heart for something. And at the right, perfect time. Just as Philip. Again, think about this. The vastness of the desert, though it was a road, I admit, but still on such a road that he would come upon this caravan. God said, Philip, him. I prepared his heart. He's reading right in the exact place he needs to. Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Philip, again, don't miss too, Philip, because see, he's speaking what he knows. And where's he beginning at? The scripture. Speak what you know. Remember, begin at scripture. So he probably took him to the previous scripture of Isaiah, if you will, as a lamb led to the slaughter. In fact, it's one of the greatest. I know we've read it so many times, but again, just to remind us that who has believed our report and to whom has the Lord of the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender grass, dropping down. He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for or bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who would declare this generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He was stricken. Now we can even see a bigger picture here. It's an interesting picture, but it's a picture I'm going to remind you, because, again, I need to be reminded. The Lord Jesus, see, from his tower, he sees all. And if you will, he sees all that will come to him. And if you will, if you look with the imagination of your eye, you could see that he is looking from a lonely wooden tower. It's the cross. Oh, please don't think he's still there. He's not. But still, for one to come to him, they must see him on that cross. And if you will, on that cross is a tower for him to view all humanity. Rejected. In yours and my eye, human speakingly, he's a loser. See, if we look at him through, again, the world's eyes, he didn't succeed. He failed. But from heaven's scope, from heaven's vision, from that cross, he saw you. He saw you. Even though you might have been in the wilderness, even though you were struggling, he knew. Waiting for that perfect moment, that right time, speak to your heart, to prepare that heart, so that you and I would lift up our eyes and see. Entering in. Look at verse 36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Amazing. In the middle of the desert, there just happens to be a body of water. Now, it doesn't say how it got there. It could have been a spring. It could have been. But I know something about the desert. It's an interesting place. It never rains. But when it does, when it does, it can flood. Call me silly, but yeah, when I was younger, we had this desert property and it would flood. And I still look at it and I think, what a dummy. But it would flood. And we're talking about, they have these little areas that would be dug up. And there would be like squares. Why they had them was maybe for all this purpose. But they would hold water at this time. It wasn't a reservoir. But we, being dumb kids, would go swimming in these pools of water. And you think, well, what's so dumb about that? Well, we always thought, rattlesnakes can't swim. Rattlesnakes can swim. I think if we'd have known that, we wouldn't have jumped in the water, to be honest with you. But we just go swimming in these big old pools. And then, of course, the sun would just take them away. See, God prepared not only his heart, he prepared a pool to baptize. Who would see it? Because you and I know something. It's to identify yourself with Christ and what he did on the cross. Who would watch this? Oh, did I mention the entourage? There were those that were watching him, probably thinking, why is our leader jumping in this dirty water? What's he doing? I mean, we bore with him to go, and he had to go down to the market. He had to go by the temple. He had to buy these scriptures. We were fine with that. We actually traveled all this way with him. We were okay with that. But now he's getting in this dirty water. What is up with that? But see, he was eager. He wanted to identify with him. He wanted to be with him. Look at verse 37. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Now, some old manuscripts doesn't have this, passes this verse in with it. And many believe it shouldn't be here. But again, let me encourage you on something. When this happens, typically you will find that verse that they say shouldn't be there, well, it's somewhere else. And it's fairly the same. It speaks the same, maybe different words. And this is spoken many times through Scripture. But just one to remind you, in Romans 10, it says this. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This man wanted to make a confession of faith. This man did believe with all his heart. This man did come to this place of belief, just like we did. Something changed. Something's different. You really want to see it? Look at this. Look at the enthusiasm. Look at verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, think about this. They're cruising along. It's a long journey. To stop means you have to have purpose to stop. All his servants are going, oh, let's just get home. It's hot and dry. I'm tired. I could just imagine getting home, getting a cold drink, putting my foot upon the rock in that hard rock chair that I have outside under the shady tree and just enjoying a moment and just tired of moving. And then all of a sudden the Ethiopian says, stop the chariot. Stop. I want to be baptized. And then he and Philip, notice this. Just so if you have questions or thoughts about this, Philip gets in the water with the Ethiopian to baptize. Now, that doesn't mean if you've been baptized by sprinkle, it doesn't count. It does. But I just want you to see that there is an imagery that God has declared. See, the Ethiopian is going to die as he goes down to his old ways, to the old self. Die with Christ, and then rise again, born again, to new life. Oh, what a moment that must have been for this man. Look at verse 39. Now, when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Okay, stop. Look at me for a second. If you are saved this morning, are you rejoicing? Oh, if you want to talk about sin, we could talk about that all day. And we do. We don't belittle it. But we all struggle with it. But just like we sang in some of the songs, the rejoicing is the fact He paid it all. He paid it all. Every sin. Did I mention He chose you? Remember something. It's not like your life is a mystery to Him. He saw every day, every moment, every thought, every word, every action. Still chosen by God. Left the 99 to come looking for you. Paid it all. All to Him I owe. All of it. Rejoicing in what He has done. Rejoicing in the fact He chose you. Rejoicing in the fact He's continuing His work in you. Preparing your heart for other things, for better things, for greater things. Never stopping. Always faithful. Always at work. Always. Please get this. With the eyes of grace and love. Every one of us. If that doesn't get our blood boiling in a good way, I don't know what will. If that doesn't warm our hearts and help us to understand that I'm loved. Perfect? Not yet. But I will be. Now, once they came out of the water, the Holy Spirit caught Philip away. That word caught is harpazo. It means caught up, snatch away. It's the same word used for the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. But it's also the same word Paul uses in his speaking about him being caught up into heaven. If you will, for this moment, as Philip is caught up, as he's taken away, what it does to the Ethiopian is to him, he just realized something. That this mysterious servant, this mysterious agent of the Holy Spirit, this mysterious man that came, that explained, and then left, had to be servant, a messenger of God. And to see that, to see everything come into place, to see everything unfold before him, to see his whole life change in just a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as Philip too is taken out of the way. He finds himself alone, but not completely. Think about this. I mean, this beyond our comprehension. What do I mean by that? Well, again, think with me. Philip, you're leaving the 99. There's one I want you to reach. His heart is prepared. He's a chosen vessel. I want you to go into the middle of the desert at the heat of the day. Now, wait. Oh, there he is. Now run up to him. Listen to what he's reading, Philip. He's reading from Isaiah. If you will, for somebody leading someone to Christ, this is what's called a slam dunk. I've had a couple of these. One I could remember, I was working at this old lady's house, and I'm trying to get this work done, and then she starts pouring out her heart to me, and she says, "I wish I knew God." And I had to stop. And I said, "Well, you can. Do you know Jesus? Well, I've heard of him, but I don't understand him. And then all I did was take her through the Romans Road. And I said, would you like to receive Christ? She said, you bet I do. Shared the gospel with her. She received Christ. And then I went outside and started working again. What did I do? It was just there. But see, God saw her. God prepared her heart. God said, now, listen. And really, honestly, when I'm in a work mode, you could ask my wife. Back then, I was just one thing on my mind. Get in. Get done. This is when I was doing the physical part of it. Get out of there. Go home. Be with my family. And God said, stop. Something more important here. God said to Philip, stop. Something more important here. A soul. But what does that tell you and me? Your soul is so valuable to God that he sent his son to die for you and me. And for that, please rejoice with me. Sure glad it's not based on me. It's all him. Now, let's look at verse 40. Meanwhile, Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So Philip snatched up, found himself some 20 miles away. What did Philip do? He just kept preaching. For 60 miles, he just kept preaching until he came to Caesarea. We'll talk about him later. So it wasn't just a one and done. Well, what do you mean? You just said, do you know that there's still evidence for Christian organizations down in Ethiopia and many link it back to him? See, God gave this man, prepared his heart, got him the scriptures, the one that he needed to preach Christ. And you think, well, now he's by himself. Philip didn't go with him. Philip didn't help him go start the church. Listen to me. God doesn't need us. God uses us. God didn't need Philip. God used Philip. God now took this man, this Ethiopian man, filled him with his spirit, and now he changed not only his life, but the lives of those around him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a story worth teaching, reading, believing, holding on to? You are a work of the Holy Spirit. You are a chosen vessel. You are loved by God. He desires to use in an impactful way to others. Well, can we learn some stuff from Philip? You bet. First of all, it's for all of us, especially for you younger ones, though. Where you're at, learn and grow. Just like Philip, grow. You're learning. It all comes down to growing and learning. Because if you don't learn the lessons, if you don't grow in your faith, then you might find yourself in the wilderness and you will dry up. Not that he abandoned you, but you left your first love. Second, understand something. He served tables. Just serve. Move. Act out. Notice the circumstances pushed Philip. It was the persecution. Then he found himself in Samaria. He might have thought, what a bummer. I liked being in Jerusalem. I liked being with the 12 apostles. I liked where the action was. I liked where Christ rose from the dead. I liked the thousands of people that were coming to Christ there. I didn't want to come to Samaria. He could have sat there and complained and whined, but he didn't. He understood something. Circumstances are also a way that God uses to move people into his will. And then he ministered where he was at. Maybe you find yourself in a circumstance that you can't get out of. Pray then to God that he'll help you to understand why are you there. And you may find he's using you there as a light. Until he says otherwise, minister to them around you. Notice Philip listened to God's voice and obeyed it. He could have said, no, that's not for me. I'm going to send one of my lackeys there. One of my lackeys can go out there. One of my disciples. It's the desert. It's the wilderness. I'm more important. I need to stay here. No. He listened and he obeyed. And for us, sometimes what it means is get quiet with him. And I know that sometimes that gets hard. There's a barrage of noise. Whether it's TV, radios, the internet, your kids, find a place. Get quiet before him. Listen. As many times as that still, small voice. Oh, and he speaks through his scriptures. Just as Philip was preaching to him through the scriptures. Obey his direction. Sometimes it won't make sense. Sometimes he will send you out in the desert. But notice God's timing is always perfect. Sometimes it doesn't happen right away. But be obedient. Sometimes our hearts or the hearts of others aren't ready. Maybe your heart's not ready for God's next step, the next place he wants you to be. Obedience leads to more direction, more opportunity to serve for each of us. As we're obedient in the small things, he gives us greater things. And the last thing I want to leave you with is just a simple verse found in Jeremiah 29:11. That Lord has plans for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God's got a plan for you. He's chosen you. He's got a calling on your life. But first and foremost, let's remember something. It's him. He chose us in spite of us. And he desires something from each of us. Our hearts. Rejoice this morning. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this morning and thank you for, again, the examples of the Ethiopian and Philip, but also of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray as we've come to you this morning to worship you and give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Lord, each of us has to repent daily. And we thank you for your grace and your forgiveness. But Lord, help us to grow in our faith. Help us to walk closer and tighter to you, being instruments for you to use in any way that you see fit, but also understanding something else, that these instruments are always going to be with problems because we are living in a fallen world. But the strength truly comes by your word and by your spirit. Help us to understand these things a little clearer, but even more so. Of your love for each of us. Thank you for choosing us, Lord. We lay our lives before you. Here are we, Lord, just as Philip, send us. But here are we as the Ethiopian, and we are loved, and we rejoice in that. In the salvation of our Lord and Savior, in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.